every person has a right to basic knowledge of how to optimize their mind, body, and spirit. Here, I bring to you influential individuals and ideas to help you live a more healthy, fulfilling life. I'm Julie Fouché, and I'd like to welcome you to Pursuing Health. Welcome back to Pursuing Health. I could not be more excited about this next episode, episode number 7, with Dr. Mark Hyman. Dr. Hyman is the founder and the medical director of the Ultra Wellness Center, his practice in Lenox, Massachusetts. He also serves as the chairman of the Institute for Functional Medicine and the director of the newly created Center for Functional Medicine at the Cleveland Clinic. He did his medical training at the University of Ottawa and his residency in family medicine at the University of California in San Francisco. He is also a New York Times bestselling author with multiple books, and you may have seen him in last year's documentary, Fed Up. I had the pleasure of first meeting Dr. Hyman last year, a little over a year ago. He came to do a talk at the Cleveland Clinic just before the Center for Functional Medicine had opened. Now, I had started to hear about functional medicine in various places over the past several years. It was one of those things that just kept popping up. Different physicians that I had looked up to, I noticed that they had this training. And so when I saw a flyer come across that there was going to be a talk at school about functional medicine, I decided, all right, I might as well go. It was one of those moments where I just felt a pull to go to this talk. It was early in the morning. I had to move around my training schedule so that I could actually make it. And I'm so glad that I went, because it turned out to be not just a talk on functional medicine, but there I learned that the Cleveland Clinic was starting a Center for Functional Medicine, and Dr. Hyman was going to be the director. So this was also around the time I had started to become pretty frustrated with some aspects of medicine and our medical education. And when I heard his talk, it connected with me on so many levels. And it felt like finally there was someone that was saying something consistent with everything I knew and I understood to be true about health and about medicine. So as I've learned more about functional medicine over the past year, it's really opened my eyes. And from my vantage point, I think that what functional medicine is doing within medicine is really equivalent to what CrossFit has done within fitness. It's a huge revolution. I think that it is the future of medicine in some capacity. And I can't wait to share with you more from our conversation and then future conversations with others in functional medicine on this topic. So I'm excited to get into this conversation, but just a reminder, if you have not yet subscribed on iTunes, please feel free to subscribe if you like what you hear so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And also, if you can give us a rating over there, that would be great too. I'd love to hear all of your feedback, so please comment on this episode on YouTube or on my website, juliefouché.com/podcast, and let me know what recommendations you have, ideas for future episodes. You can also share your thoughts using hashtag JFHealth on social media. So thanks again for listening, and let's get started with this episode number 7 with Dr. Mark Hyman. So we're here on Pursuing Health, and welcome Dr. Mark Hyman. Thanks for taking the time to sit down with me. And a lot of listeners probably are not too familiar yet with functional medicine. So I was hoping you could maybe start with an overview of what functional medicine is.
Well, you know, a lot of us go to the doctor and we have various complaints, and we often have a list of different symptoms. And they usually try to diagnose you with a disease. Like you have reflux, or you have arthritis, or you have a migraine, or you have some condition that then we would use a drug to treat. Well, functional medicine looks at the body completely differently through the lens of what we call systems thinking. So rather than diseases, we're looking at where are the imbalances in the body and how is everything connected. So if you go to the doctor and you have a rash and you have a headache and you have irritable bowel and you have some joint pain and a runny nose, you're going to go to 5 different doctors, they're going to give you 5 different prescriptions. You go, how's everything connected? What's the root cause? So it's treating the system, not the symptoms. It's treating the organism, not the organs. And, you know, lately I've been sort of describing it sort of like the difference between industrial agriculture and organic farming. So industrial agriculture, you know, they pour all kinds of chemicals on the plants to try to get it to be healthy and grow and not get sick and prevent pests and herbicides, and it's, you know, pretty toxic. And then, you know, you have to do all these heavy-duty things that have all these side effects, including destroying the environment, depleting the soil, and depleting our aquifers, and causing global warming, and so on and so forth. Whereas organic farmers are actually soil farmers. They're actually taking care of the soil, and they create healthy soil by putting in organic matter and the right nutrients and compost, and it actually is the health of the soil that determines the health of the plant. So functional medicine is more like being a soil farmer for the body. We're looking at how do we create a healthy human. It's different than treating a disease.
Right.
It's a very different framework, and it's really based on the shifts in our Western biomedical paradigm that allows us to rethink disease. It's like it's a big shift, and it's hard for people to grok because, you know, it's sort of like Columbus saying, "Hey, the Earth isn't flat," and everybody's like, "No, it looks flat." And like I'm saying, "Well, disease doesn't really exist," and they go, "Yeah, but like I have arthritis and I have a migraine." Those are just symptoms, and they're not really reflecting what's going on. So you can have one condition, let's say a migraine, it can have 10 different causes. But if you go to the regular neurologist, they'll go, "Oh, you know, you've got this kind of migraine. It's a classical migraine or a hemiplegic migraine." They classify it based on the symptoms, and everybody gets the same treatment. You get either the preventive drugs or the drugs that abort the migraine or painkillers, instead of going, "Why did you get the migraine in the first place? You know, is it something you're eating? Is it your hormonal imbalance? Is it your gut flora? Is it, you know, a food allergy?" There's all sorts of reasons for it. Is it a mitochondrial issue? So there's a lot of things we think about that allow us to navigate that landscape of disease. So it's really like a new GPS system for disease.
Okay. And I really like, too, what you said about creating a healthy human. You said before, you know, we don't learn that usually in medical school. So when you're looking at a patient, what are all the things that you look for that need to be in place to create health?
Well, it's actually pretty fascinating. You know, the body is really resilient. And so if you take away the things that are the impediments to health and you put in the things that the body needs to thrive, then the body's natural intelligence will take care of most disease. So what are those things? It's just a list of things that are required to create a healthy human. You take away the bad stuff, you put in the good stuff. And the bad stuff is a short list. It's poor diet, which most of us have. We call it the standard American diet or the SAD diet. Mm-hmm. Our stress levels, which are real for us, and there's a lot of different kinds of stresses. There's emotional stress, psychological stresses, but there's also EMF stress, you know, from electromagnetic frequencies. There's, you know, physical stresses from being sick. There's all kinds of stresses. And then there's toxins. So we're exposed to a lot of toxins, and doctors don't really pay much attention to toxins. So heavy metals, pesticides, chemicals, mold toxins, they're all around us, and some of us are more susceptible. Allergens, and that can be things we become allergic to, whether it's environmental or even things that have to do with our food, that we can react to all sorts of foods because of the hybridization, the changes in the structure of the food, so on and so forth. Gut, things, all the antibiotics we've used, and the lack of breastfeeding, and the C-sections, all that's led to what we call leaky gut, reactive problems with food. That's a big cause of disease. And the last one is sort of microbes, you know, bugs. And it could be everything from the bugs in your gut. You've got like 500 species there, 3 tons of bugs. It's a whole big extra organ, and that imbalance in those bugs can create all sorts of diseases. So we look at that carefully. But it could be things like today I saw a guy who's had chronic fatigue, cognitive impairment, muscle pain, and having hot flashes, sweats all the time. Well, I think he's probably got babesia. He's got a tick-borne infection. So we look at the tick. So that's like it's viruses, or someone I talked with, MS, has a lot of viruses. So look at the infection. So it's microbes, toxins, allergens, poor diet, stress. And then we try to find those things and get rid of them. And then we look at what's their life like, you know, and we look at the quality of their diet. What are the ingredients you need for a healthy human? It's a short list. It's, you need the right amount of food and the right kind of food. So it's real, whole, fresh food. And, you know, people get so confused by nutrition, but it's not really that hard. You know, basically, if it's a barcode or a label or a nutrition facts label, it's probably not food,
right?
If you want something that looks like food, like an avocado doesn't have a barcode on it. An almond doesn't have a nutrition facts label. An egg doesn't have a ingredient list. It's just an egg, right? That's what you want to be eating.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard. So CrossFit's prescription for diet.
Yeah.
So simple. Eat meat and vegetables, nuts and seeds, some fruit, little starch, no sugar.
That's it. That's the program.
It doesn't have to be complicated.
No, it's the program. And so that's exactly what we recommend. Mm-hmm. It's just real food. The other main ingredients are the right nutrients. So people have requirements for different nutrients based on genetics, and it can be high levels of certain vitamins, or you might have a vitamin D receptor genetic polymorphism that means you need a high level of vitamin D, or a methylation polymorphism that means you need a high level of certain kind of folate. You may need the right balance of hormones depending on where you are in your life. Everybody needs the right amount of sleep, and sleep is one of the huge factors that drives, you know, hydration. Simple idea, but powerful. Most of us are intracellular dehydrated, which makes us feel like crap. We need a light, you know, regular exposure to sunlight. Our natural biodynamic and circadian rhythms are related to exposure to light. We need movement, you know, almost need exercise and movement, which is critical. Mm-hmm. These are just basic common sense things, right? Sleep, water, air, light, movement.
Right.
You know. And then we need other things like connection, community, love, purpose. All those things are needed for making healthy humans. So if you take away the bad stuff, you put in the good stuff, people get better. And for each person, it's different. Like, for each person, the balance of those things that you have to tweak are a little different. Mm-hmm. And if you become an expert in functional medicine, you begin to understand, like, how to navigate. So how do I become an expert in toxins? How do I become an expert in bugs? How do I become an expert in sleep, or in you know, hydration, or in food? Or, you know, those are the things that really we focus on.
Yeah, and it's amazing to me how big of an impact some of those things can have. Mm-hmm. That you don't even think about, the relationships, the connection, things like that.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could share a little bit of your own personal story of how you found functional medicine.
Sure.
Too.
Well, like many people, you know, it's usually through some personal journey.
Right. I've noticed that a lot with almost every functional medicine practitioner I've met.
Yeah.
It's because of something that they needed themselves, and then they went on to practice.
Right. So, you know, if you go to regular medical school, you go on your merry way, and mm-hmm. you do what you were taught, and, you know, you try to get people better, so they get better, so then they don't. And you do your best. But then when you get sick, which I did, then all of a sudden you hit a wall, and you realize that what I learned isn't helpful, and it's not getting me better, and there's something wrong, and I'm not crazy, and this isn't in my head, and I don't just need Prozac. So through that own sort of trauma and stress of being sick, I ended up having chronic fatigue syndrome. I had mercury poisoning, which it took me years to figure out, and through that path, I was actually able to figure out how functional medicine, you know, provided a new lens to look at chronic disease. And I started putting that lens on myself and finding out all the challenges that I had and fixing them. And through working on myself and testing myself and doing everything on myself and taking every kind of supplement, hormone, herb, drug, whatever, I was able to actually get an understanding of how this works from the inside out. And then I began to realize this works with patients. And the more I did it, the more people got better, and the better I got at it. And it's just profoundly effective.
Yeah. And you... what was it, just that experience that then you decided to shift your focus and start practicing medicine a little bit differently?
Yeah. I mean, I had no choice. Like, mm-hmm. as soon as you understand this, like, you can't just do things the same way.
Right.
You can't help
yourself. You see the light, and then
you can't help yourself.
Can't go back. Okay. Yeah. So where do you see, I guess, how long was that before you started your own practice?
No, well, I had my own practice for years.
Okay.
I was a family doctor in a small town in Idaho.
Okay.
And then I went to China, worked for a year doing clinics for expatriates, and then I came back working in the ER for a couple of years. And then I got a job at Canyon Ranch. It was right after I got that job at Canyon Ranch that I got sick, and this all happened.
Okay. And so now, I mean, from then to now, since you've been practicing functional medicine, where do you now see the future of medicine? Where do you see it in 10 years from now?
I think everybody's going to be practicing functional medicine. It's just the way medicine's going. Mm-hmm. It's not a new modality or a new fad. It's simply what's happening in biomedical science, which is a rethinking of disease, a rethinking of biology. Understanding, like, the microbiome is a great example. It's all in the news.
Right.
You know, everybody's talking about it. Poop, you know, what's going on.
Right.
And all of a sudden, people go, oh my God, you know, you could have changes in your gut bacteria that cause depression. Like, who would have thought that it's your gut bacteria making you depressed? You know, if people would attribute meaning to all their symptoms that may not be related to why they're sick. That it could be related to why you're overweight. They're using fecal transplants for diabetes. Like, that's just a crazy idea, right? Or why would you treat someone with Parkinson's with fecal transplants? Because everything is connected. And so when you begin to understand that the normal definitions and barriers and things that we have between specialties in the body don't mean anything anymore, then we have to start like changing our theories to explain what we're finding. Mm-hmm. So I think hopefully, you know, Cleveland Clinic here, you're pioneering this. We're really looking at how do we rethink medicine, and what kind of ways can we move forward to change the research, to change the clinical programs, to develop what we're doing.
Right. That was a perfect segue to my next question about, obviously we met because you're here in Cleveland, and I heard it was from a lot of reluctance on your part to actually come, but why did you finally decide to come, and what are you doing here now? Well, what are you trying to accomplish?
I came because, Toby Cosgrove, the CEO, asked me, and at first I didn't really believe him that he really wanted to innovate, and I thought if I came here with these ideas, it would be just such resistance, it would be difficult to get anything done. Mm-hmm. So he convinced me that wasn't true, and I believed him, and so we came here, and we started a program to do research, changing education, doing community work, trying to really shift the whole focus and even look at cost of care and change reimbursement, and it's been great. I mean, we've had overwhelming success with like 1,000 people on the waiting list. It's unbelievable.
I heard it's over a year to get an appointment in here.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Yeah. We don't even know. Wow. I just don't even think about it.
And have you had much resistance since you've been here from other?
There's a couple. Yeah. I just got an email message from a doctor who was treating some autism. They go, well, there's no evidence of diet has anything to do with autism. And I'm like, I think there's a challenge with evidence, right? Which is that the things get studied which get paid to be studied.
Right.
And most people are not studying nutrition. Nobody's paying to study nutrition in autism, particularly. Nobody wants to know other things or in Alzheimer's. But in fact, that's where the money is, in a sense, where the payoff is. So there's challenges. And I think it's hard for some people to understand the role of food and health and that they can be that powerful, but it really is. I mean, I have a patient, people are on insulin, and within 3 or 4 days, by changing their diet, they're off insulin.
Right.
Well, we see that with gastric bypass surgery, right? Because they change their diet, so they all of a sudden come off all the crap they're eating. They can't eat because they didn't their stomach staple.
Right.
But you don't have to have your stomach staple. It's like a gastric bypass without the surgery, vomiting, and malnutrition. You can basically just change your diet.
Right. That's something that's so interesting to me, too, because that's obviously a huge surgery that's done here at the clinic. Yeah. And so there's obviously so many different ways to approach it, but very interesting.
Yeah, okay.
I was wondering if next you could maybe talk about your experience in Haiti. I think you went with Paul Farmer's organization, and I've heard you talk about it before, how that really changed your outlook on how we can really affect the health of our nation.
Well, anybody who's really interested in how we can make dramatic changes where people don't think it's possible, I would read this book called Mountains Beyond Mountains by Paul Farmer, which is a biography of him that it describes what happened in Haiti, where he went to the poorest country in the world, it was in the Western Hemisphere, and they had TB and AIDS there where everybody gave up. Nobody thought that they could help them, and it was too difficult, and so they sort of gave up on them. He's like, no, we can fix this. And so he went to Haiti, and he decided that the power of getting people better wasn't in a pill bottle, wasn't through better drugs or surgery, but it was by the power of community. And by using what he called this philosophy of accompaniment, where we accompany each other to health, he was able to get people better. And it was community health workers and people actually focusing on getting people to work together to get healthy. And so what happens in CrossFit, happens in Zumba. In fact, next week I'm going to Orlando to speak at a Zumba convention where I've developed a whole nutrition curriculum with them for the Zumba instructors. So they've got 200,000 Zumba instructors, and they're like community health workers. We want to train them to be community health workers where they can run small groups of people who can do it together and get inspired to help each other. And that's really the power of the change that happens.
Yeah, I think that's something that resonates a lot with CrossFit and the CrossFit community, because we see...
Well, you call it the CrossFit
right, the community, right? We see it. It's the most powerful part of what we do. And you see affiliates all over the world where people are coming in and doing things they never thought they could do before. And they're supporting each other to make changes that they never would do on their own. So I think that's opened a lot of our eyes to what's possible. And I think absolutely that's the future of how we're going to help people be healthier. Okay, so I want to end with 3 questions that I ask everyone. So first one is 3 things that you do in real life on a daily basis that you think have the biggest overall positive impact on your health.
Oh, well, that's easy. Eat good, move my body, and sleep.
Perfect.
It's really so simple. You know, like it's not, you know, everybody makes it so complicated. It's like you said, just eat real food, you know, move, and make sure you get 7-8 hours of sleep.
Yep. What, do you mind if I ask what you do for exercise?
Well, yesterday I rode my bike, sprinted like for 15 miles on my bike and beat my time by 4 minutes, which was really
nice. Here in Cleveland?
Then I played basketball with my 25-year-old son for about 40 minutes after that.
Awesome.
And that was yesterday.
That sounds fun.
I like biking, and I like doing like sort of body weight workouts, mm-hmm. and interval training and yoga and tennis and
lots of variety.
Yeah, like I don't like to do the same thing. I think that's like, you know, it's like with CrossFit, you do a lot of different kinds of things.
Exactly.
You just want to do the same thing over and over.
Right. Constantly in CrossFit, it's constantly varied, high intensity, functional movements. That's the definition of CrossFit. So, next question. One thing that you think or you know would have a big impact on your health, but you struggle to implement it.
Blank space. Blank space. I think that would make things different for me in the sense that it's where creativity happens.
Yeah.
So, like when you know you're doing nothing, mm-hmm. all these sort of great thinking happens or ideas, mm-hmm. or creativity happens. So, I'm always doing. I'm not always in that space of like blank spaceness where I can kind of come up with solutions
for
things that you know. Insights that are important.
That's a really good one. Seems like you're still doing a lot of creative things, though, despite that.
I like space. I do okay.
You would like to do more. Okay. Final question is, what does a healthy life look like to you?
I think it really is a personal sort of definition, right? So the way I just sort of describe it is it's the ability to wake up in the morning and do whatever you want to do and be able to do that. Whether it's sitting in a rocking chair reading a book or climbing a mountain or jumping out of a plane or, you know, just being with your family. You know, it could be being immobilized in bed and being with your family and loved ones and listening to books on tape. If that's what makes you happy,
right.
It doesn't matter. Like, I think, but it's just being able to have that capacity to show up for your life and as opposed to being fogged or being crappy or having issues that sort of prevent you from being fully alive. And I think, you know, all this, different capacities for that, but I think most of us don't realize how close we are to feeling good. And you know, so I write the books that I write. I mean, I wrote recently a book called The 10-Day Detox Diet. I could write a detox book, but the idea is to give people a chance to hit the reset button. It's like, what is it like if you can just turn your body back to its original factory settings? Mm-hmm. And what are the tricks that you can use to do that? And that's what functional medicine is. So it's really finding those things to people in your life and seeing what happens to people out there. Changes really quickly.
And it's amazing too, even if you already think you're doing pretty well, you think you're living pretty healthy, the little things that can have such a big impact. Like for example, I actually did the elimination diet about a year ago, and I had already done similar challenges, but in the elimination diet you take out whey and eggs, which I had always continued to eat and realized I felt a lot better. And so even when you already think you're doing well, it's that constant state of improvement and trying to find more things. So wonderful. So where can people find out more about you or about functional medicine in general if they're looking for someone in their area? What's the best way to go about it?
My website, drhyman.com. They can find me there, my Facebook page or Twitter. Mm-hmm. And there's a website for people looking for a functional medicine doctor, but there's a lot of people looking.
Right. Don't come to Cleveland Clinic if you want to get in soon.
But it's functionalmedicine.org. The website you can kind of check out how to find a doctor. So it's a great way to sort of figure out how to be, you know, the CEO of your own health.
Right. Definitely. Well, thank you again so much for sitting down with me, and I'm sure people will really enjoy the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you for tuning into this episode. I'd love to hear your feedback, so please leave comments under this post on my website, juliefouché.com. Also, if you like what you hear, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and give us a rating. And share your thoughts on social media. You can use the hashtag JFHealth with any feedback or questions or ideas for future episodes. So thanks again for listening, and we will catch you next time on Pursuing Health. Thank you.